what does that legacy look like? And I know I've done a good job just by the fact that I get calls from people I met 5 years ago, and they're like, I need help with X, Y, Z. Do you know someone? And I'm like, hold on a second. Let me go through my Rolodex and figure out who that person is that can either directly solve the problem or get you to that next person. And I love it. I love it. And I tell people, I'm like, listen, if this is what you want to do, if this is how you want to build your business to be a resource, you will have unlimited opportunity.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with Christine Smith. Christine, what's up? How are you today?
Hi, Ben. Thanks for having me.
So you're a lady that does lots of things, ripple effects, a million other things. What is it? So Team Elevate, Hangar Co-Works, which just launched. We have a lot to tackle, but where I want to start, because I love it, right in the top of your LinkedIn profile, the Obi-Wan Kenobi of networking.
Yep.
What's that mean for anyone who doesn't know?
So that's actually my whiplash statement. So that's a whole other thing, right? So I am the Obi-Wan Kenobi of networking. The term was coined after somebody I had a conversation with. It was probably like a year and a half ago, maybe like right after we got shut down. Somebody's like, oh, you're like a networking Jedi. And I kind of stuck with that for a little bit. So I was like, yeah, you're kind of right. You know, I teach a lot of people the ways of, you know, the networking and how that works. And then somebody was joking about the Obi-Wan Kenobi thing, and it just kind of stuck. I really liked it. And it's super easy to, like, most everybody knows about Star Wars to a degree. And everyone knows who Obi-Wan is. So it was kind of like a no-brainer to kind of match those and be like, listen, you want anything to know about networking? I am that person. And, you know, I don't need to say anything else after that. It's like, nope, I am the Obi-Wan Kenobi. You come to me if you're trying to figure out how to network better.
I love it. That's why I wanted to start there, because I'm like, yes, and she is. I know Christine is the Obi-Wan Kenobi of networking. We'll get into networking. We'll get into all these things and how they're sort of like all come together in your story. It's just like everything you do kind of just blends together as Christine. But since you mentioned whiplash statement, and that's another thing that a lot of my listeners probably haven't heard before, what is a whiplash statement?
So a whiplash statement was something I invented about 4 months ago. While I was doing a workshop actually for a team, I think it was actually for Team Elevate, and we were doing like a, you know, workshop for a group of professionals, and I coined the term. It kind of stuck, and I've been using it ever since, and I've been training on it. And so what it is exactly what it sounds like. It causes somebody to stop and be like, wait, what? What was that? What did I just hear? And it's a lot better than an elevator pitch, and it has a better place than an elevator pitch when you first meet someone. Elevator pitch, I think, has a place, but not when you first meet somebody or you're in that first couple minutes of a conversation with someone new. And a whiplash statement is an I am statement, and you're trying to give someone a visual. Like, everybody judges you based on first impressions, right? So why are you throwing so much at them at once? We're all a bunch of toddlers running around chasing butterflies, and we don't have the capacity to remember every little thing. But if you give somebody something that causes an emotion, they're going to remember. So if that emotion is based off of a visual, which is one of the ways people remember, so you're counting on, you know, one of their senses, they're more than to remember you. And then when you go to have a meeting with them one-to-one, they're like, oh yeah, you mentioned that you know, you do blah, blah, blah. Or you mentioned that you're the Michael Jordan of payroll. And people are like, what does that mean? what, you know, tell me more. And then you go down that next level. Okay, tip of the iceberg. Here is like who I am as a person, right? All of the other things don't matter if that concept isn't, you know, a hit home for somebody. So that's why like concepts and details, like everyone gives everyone the details. Well, here's all the products I sell. Here's all the services I offer. And I'm like, that doesn't matter. They don't even know you. You've barely done anything and said hi to them. And then you word vomit on them. And then, oh, they're going to be interested in buying. And I'm like, do you know any other people just did the same thing? No.
I love this because it can be difficult in networking conversations because people quite literally say, hey, what do you do? And then we'll drop down to our lowest level of training. And it's, oh, I own a marketing company and I like to make websites. Do you need a website?
Yeah. <laughs> So
I like this. So I like that there's almost like a tangible element, like the Michael Jordan of the Obi-Wan Kenobi of, I thought I had a whiplash statement with I ask questions for a living. Which for me is a statement of like just mystery. It's meant to create curiosity. But do you think for a statement like that, I should have like a tangible object, like a Michael Jordan or an animal or something involved to make it more valuable?
It would help just from a visual standpoint. So you have to think about how much points of information people are hit with on a regular basis. So you have social media, you have driving around, you have conversations, you have virtual, like there's all these places that we're compiling information and we're honestly expecting the person that we're meeting for the first time to compartmentalize our conversation. It's not going to happen unless you cause a reason. So that whiplash grabs somebody's attention because most often people are coming into a new situation very defensive because of the assumption that, well, I'm just going to get sold something, or I'm just waiting for this person to finish their word vomit so I can tell them mine. And then we can move on with our lives and exchange cards and hope that business happens, because that's apparently how people think business happens. That doesn't happen like that anymore, right? We're very relationship oriented. We've always been that way. Why are we going away from that? Why are we trying the infomercial approach? So for you, I would actually do like, so who asks a lot of questions? Well, he's not around anymore, but Alex Trebek would be a good like visual component, right? I am the Alex Trebek of, you know, whatever that next piece might be.
You know what just came to my mind?
What?
I'm Larry King at 31. I don't know. That's what came to mind.
Whatever would work, right? Like it stops. Cause then people are like, well, what does that mean? Right. It's going to cause someone to ask another question. And now what's interesting about that from a processing standpoint is they're going to be more engaged. Their defenses are going to be down because they're like, I've never heard that before. That's something I have to know more about. They're automatically curious. They're more likely to listen to everything else that you're going to say after that. And I have to tell people, listen, this isn't where you give your elevator pitch now. You give a little bit more information. You're like, oh, you know, I really like helping with blah, 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 right? You name three things, three bullets, right? Super quick. And then you turn around on them and say, oh, what's your whiplash statement? Or, you know, tell me what, you know, how do you visualize yourself? Why are you here at this event? Who are you trying to meet? Who can I connect you to, right? How can I be your resource? And, you know, the idea is to get that one-to-one. That is why we network, right? We're looking for connections. We're looking for clients, but the goal is to have that sit down conversation so we can elaborate more on, well, how we're different, what we actually do, what we offer, and how the person in front of us is going to either be a conduit, a client, or, you know, whatever. You know, we're going to talk about that. But that isn't happening in most people's brains. They're like, well, I need to do this and I need to do it fast and I need to do it yesterday. And we're going to just, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And hopefully it works. I'm like, it doesn't work that way.
I like how you said, I need to do it yesterday, because that is the best time to do something was yesterday. The next time to best do it now, you still want to do it correctly, though, right? Like the next best time isn't now if you're not prepared to come in as your best self. So I'm going to pull out my pencil. This is something that everyone should pull out their pencil right now, because you're going to want to take a lot of notes during this episode anyways. If you're driving, gym, anything like that, that's cool, too. Let's take a second to pause. Like, what is my whiplash statement? Like, at the end of the day, we can chat all day. I'm going to ask Christine about her story. She's fascinating. But this isn't just for entertainment. Like, let's gain a ton of value today. So what is my whiplash statement? Should I write down like 3, 5, 10 and just kind of pick the best one? What should we do from there?
Yeah. So I'd say if you're starting to craft that, so you should definitely look at like an I am statement and think about some people, places, and things that might inspire you or you would like easily compare yourself to based on how you work with people. And then I would think about keywords that you use within your business, which if you've done any sort of marketing branding analysis, which hopefully everybody listening has, which I know they absolutely haven't, thinking about what are the words you use all the time when you're talking with people, how you're trying to differentiate yourself. What are those words? Can you find synonyms for those words to, you know, really try and get something that sounds different than what is typically heard by people in your industry, and just come up with some sentences. And for another exercise in working on this whiplash statement, I would also recommend you asking your friends and family, do you know what I do? I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be crushed by the answers because you're going to be very surprised in thinking that your friends and family know exactly what you do and they don't. That's a problem because if your own friends and family don't fully understand what it is you do, well, the garbage that's coming out of your mouth isn't going to be, it's not going to sit well with even just your network, right? So that might help you figure out what that powerful whiplash statement should be and how you continue that conversation so that you're actually getting out accurate information in as short and efficient manners as possible. So the people you're having conversations with, they have those seeds planted, they're there forever. And anywhere they go after that, they hear some of those words that populate and they're like, oh yeah, yeah, that's Ben. Or, oh yeah, that's Christine. I got to go back to that person because of, you know, whatever it is that they solve for.
Has it happened to you that someone's just having a conversation about Star Wars with a random person and that conversation just reminds them of you and then come up just through, again, that association?
I am almost sure that that happens. It happens anytime anyone uses networking. I know that for a fact. I'll get people that I'll get like a DM on LinkedIn. And they're like, I was talking to so-and-so and we were talking about networking and your name came up or ripple effects came up. And, you know, that's how we get introduced. But time and time again, and I tell people, I'm like, this works. Here is proof of that. Here is how I built my community and fine tuning what those words are. Because whatever I do after that doesn't matter. If I decide to become a dentist, it doesn't matter. I already have a network of people who know, like, and trust me, and it continues to spill over because I'm not the only one talking about it.
They know, like, and trust you. You can change industries, which you've done. I mean, it's funny. Before we started, I'm like, I don't know where to take this conversation, Christine. You have like 5 projects you're involved in, but it seems like there's a common narrative between all of it. Like, what is that common narrative between all these things that you work on?
So it's to be a resource. So back in 2016, when I left the dealership space, so I was in the car business. I actually sold cars. I built an internet department at the dealership that I worked at. And the day that I left, I left before my 2 weeks, actually, because I was like, why am I here? I was like, I know, you know, I was transitioning into financial advising at the time. And I was doing that because I wanted to be a resource. I actually really enjoyed the car business. I liked solving the problem of, you know, transportation, but it was more than that to me. It was, you know, finding the right type of car and really asking those interesting questions to people. I'm like, you know, why are you using the car? What are your hobbies like? Do you have kids? Do you have pets? All that stuff. And, you know, financial advising took it that next level, right? And everything that I've done since then has been in line with that foundation. No matter what I do, no matter what I build from here on out, it's based off of that component, which is to be a resource. If I'm going to leave this world today, what does that legacy look like? And I know I've done a good job just by the fact that I get calls from people I met 5 years ago, and they're like, I need help with XYZ. Do you know someone? And I'm like, hold on a second. Let me go through my Rolodex and figure out who that person is that can either directly solve the problem or get you to that next person. And I love it. I love it. And I tell people, I'm like, listen, if this is what you want to do, if this is how you want to build your business to be a resource, you will have unlimited opportunity.
I love it. I like the sound of unlimited opportunities, so I can't turn that down. We always do this at the end, but it's coming up. So you're a resource, and I know this to be a fact. You're an incredible resource. So someone's listening to it now. They want to connect with you and be part of your network. What's the best way to reach out to you?
I would say definitely LinkedIn is my social media of choice. I mean, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook, but LinkedIn is my professional route of choice. So you easily findable. I'm the only person with purple hair on there that I'm aware of. You can see my, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi of networking right on, under my profile picture. You know, I have a pretty good amount of followers and connections as well, but I'm very particular in who I bring on. So if you're going to connect with me, make sure you send me a DM on like, you're not just some random bot connecting with me. You're actual human being that I can connect with.
100%. And that's in the show notes, guys. Another thing is if anyone ever wants an introduction, just message me and then I'll connect you two just so you're in the same orbit. I was laughing when I read your profile before we got started because you had a list of things. I wrote them down. I don't know if we want to go through them, but like I'll only accept your request if one, you have a profile picture.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a no-brainer. Some people have it so they have a picture, but you can't see it until you connect.
Yeah. I don't really, I get why they're doing that, but I don't like that. And the only reason is because I don't know if you're a real person or you're just going to spam me. Right. So I'm gauging that and giving everyone the benefit of the doubt that if you're reaching out to me, you generally want to connect. But again, I get a million DMs all day long asking if I want to dabble in whatever software or cryptocurrency or whatever else is out there currently.
And, you know, good point made. So you have one profile picture, guys. It's not like you have to put up your entire world. So have a headshot if you want to connect with Christine. And honestly, I recommend to connect with me or anybody. It's just more personable. The number two on your list was someone connected us or we met because of someone else / an event. That's a really good reason. What if they don't have a profile picture, but you know them through an event?
I will connect with them.
Yeah, that's a good reason. Yeah. I love this one. You do not send me a long DM with links, your product, services, et cetera, and how I should be your client. So you don't want homework in your request.
Not even just homework, but you know, going back to the whole elevator pitch, it's mm-hmm. literally an elevator pitch just in written form. And I'm like, how about a hello? Or I love when they're like, I've read your profile and blah, 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 blah. You know, that goes into this whole thing. I'm like, obviously you didn't read my profile. If you did, you would know not to do this. And I'm not going to accept you.
I want to tell you what I've been doing. So people will be like, blah, 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 blah. Or I listen to your pod and I know that it's canned. So mm-hmm. I'll be like, that's so amazing, Christine. What episode did you listen to? Did you like it? And then if they really want to do work, they actually have to go and look at the podcast and like pick an episode. Someone, I think they did it. Like it just, I got weird vibes. So the next thing I say is, I would so appreciate you leave me a review. And if they can jump through those hoops, I'll take your elevator pitch, but connect with me on a personal level. What I always tell people, and I'm super unselfish. I want to give 9 times more than I receive. But at the end of the day, people want to know what's in it for them, not what's in it for you. So if you start pitching me, I'm completely just like nauseated, turned off. That's just me.
Same.
Your number four was you send me a DM as to why you want to connect with me and what your goals are in building a relationship. What can we do together? So that's telling you how to send the DM, like collaboration. Yeah. How do I want to build this relationship with Christine?
Yeah, I think it's that one specifically is for people who, you know, they're not connected with me and they didn't hear about me from somewhere. They just kind of came across my profile and was like, hey, you know, I think we might have some value in coming together. Because those are the questions that I ask somebody when they connect with me and they give me that whole garbage. I still respond. I still am like, hey, listen, I'm not sure if this is bot. If you're doing this automated, you know, if you're generally interested in connecting with me, I'd be happy to have a conversation. But if you read my profile, you would know that this is not something I normally accept. So, and then I hate when people are like, yeah, I want to connect. And they actually give me human responses. And I'm like, okay, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt. And then I accept. Right. And then it's like, oh, the floodgates are open. Let's spam. And I'm like, no. Why did you do that?
That was your fifth and final. You aren't just connecting to just sell me within the 30 seconds of acceptance. Floodgates are open. I have a lead. she connected with me.
Yep. There used to be something in there about dating also.
Okay.
So I've definitely had a lot of interesting DMs or even comments on posts from people that are like interested in me from like a personal relationship. I'm like, listen, I know you can find love anywhere, but like, this isn't the place or the time. Like, again, you haven't even had a conversation and be like, hey, let's connect, or even assume that I'm available for that as well. I'm like, just go right for the jugular on that. Like, hey, we should get, you know, a drink sometime. And I'm like, what's happening here? What are we after?
Over LinkedIn too.
Over LinkedIn. Yeah. I've had it happen quite a few times.
I've heard you say people treat networking like one night stands. Do you want to elaborate even more on that?
Yeah. So I hosted an event for RippleFX. It was like right after pandemic. It was one of our first few in-person events. And somebody asked me the question on, you know, what is RippleFX doing that's different than any other networking group out there? So I'm a very like tongue-in-cheek type person, and I have no problem like holding back or, you know, swearing or anything like that. And I was like, you know what? This is how RippleFX is different. We're not teaching people to go out there and, you know, flap themselves around like they're trying to get one night stands and bring all these chicks home. And people like lost their minds. Thought it was hilarious. And I thought, you know, I was thinking about it more, and I've had other people comment. They're like, you're so right. That's exactly what salespeople are doing. They're just going in for the kill. They're not looking for a relationship. They're just looking for wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And once they got you, that's it, right? There's no further relationship. There's nothing else that's happening. And I'm like, if more people realize that they were acting like, you know, that creepy guy at the bar that's just looking to bring somebody home, they would probably stop what they're doing or reevaluate how to have these more quality conversations. And I've even had this conversation with other women, and we joke about like, hey, you want to at least like, you know, take me to dinner first before you decide to like go to this next step, or like, you know, here's the thing of Vaseline to get going, because clearly you're just jamming it in there before that get any farther. But that's how it feels. And I know everyone can totally relate to this. And that's why I talk about it all the time, because I'm like, stop networking this way. If you stop and you reevaluate, have a little bit of awareness on how you're having these conversations, I promise you, you will get way more business. You're going to have way more opportunities. And honestly, people aren't going to be like creeped out. You're not going to be known as like that guy or girl that's acting that way. Be like, oh, well, they just want me as a sale. Like, you don't need to act like that. You'll get your sales. I promise. But if you have that reputation, no one can help you fix that.
It's tough. I've never bought from someone like that. I've never actually referred. I've never actually really even created any conversation with someone like that. It makes me wonder if people are, or if they're just completely just demolishing their reputation and their brand.
I don't think they know. I mean, think about it from like a not ability or resource. Like, mm-hmm. This information isn't common knowledge, right? So how we network is stuff that we've learned over the years through our own trial and error, us falling on our face, us feeling a certain way, but also being aware of how that stuff felt, right? I don't really like talking like that to people. I don't like how it makes me feel, right? Not everybody has that self-awareness or has been told by someone that says, hey, you're working for my company. Here's how I want you to act at events. Here's how I want you presenting yourself. They just go for the sale. Oh, we need to network and build rapport. But they're not talking about, well, for the people that aren't even qualified, here's how to have a conversation and build relationships, make sure they're a center of influences, they're advocates for you, they're cheerleaders for you. No one's having those conversations. Everyone knows it needs to happen. Everyone talks about referrals until mm-hmm. we're blue in the face, but no one actually talks about, well, what does the relationship of a referral actually look like? And are your referrals coming from current clients? Well, how does that conversation happen? And the ones that aren't coming from clients, they're coming from people that you're working alongside. Mm-hmm. They're solving other problems. Well, what is that conversation like? Are you actually doing that? Are you setting those boundaries? Are you setting those expectations with those people? That's not happening enough. And that's why you get this cluster of this hamster wheel everyone gets stuck in, because, well, this is how it was done 30 years ago. And this is how I'm like, good Lord. No, that's not how, I'm almost positive that's not how it was done. People just thought, well, this is how I'm supposed to do it, so I'm just going to keep doing it. The wheel's not broken. I'm like, well, wheel may not be broken, but it's flat. You have no brakes. you're gonna fail miserably at this point. And doing it that approach, you know, it's not 1970. It's 2022. We need to think a little bit more forward thinking and be more aware of how we're having conversations and how people are reacting to us.
It's 2022. In 1970, if I had a ton of money, I could buy a TV ad and have a massive marketing team create a TV ad that was expensive and thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people saw it. But I feel like we're treating our profiles and our networking conversations like it's a TV ad. So everyone's just spewing it. Right. Now, it's easy. It's obviously a problem. Now, it's easier to come in from a place of confidence that you're already a resource where it's like, hey, I'm here to chat. I don't know if I can help you or not yet. Let's figure out if there's alignments. But some people might not be there yet, or maybe they haven't built a large network yet. Where should those people that don't have, they aren't the resource yet, where should they be starting?
They honestly need to start with how they want their brand to be reflected. So they need to do their own market evaluation on themselves, which takes a little bit. They're probably need a third party to help them. So whether they hire a coach or they have a business coach, they have a networking coach, whatever the situation is, they need to have those discussions. Because what you're going after makes a difference in how you say things, right? How are you talking to people about what it is you're trying to accomplish, or how even you're building your network? Well, who are you looking for? Who do you want to be surrounded by? Do you even know? Well, I want to be around everybody. No, you don't. Not everybody's going to be a good fit, and not everybody's going to like you. So you might think you're an amazing person. Like, I 100% get offended when somebody doesn't like me. I'm like, what do you mean? What's not to like, right? But that's just how it is. That's the way of the world. We're not all going to get along, but you need to understand and define what that is, and even what you're willing to tolerate and not tolerate. What are those boundaries, right? There's some people that are way in left field. They're never going to be a client. They're never going to be a friend of yours. They're never going to be an advocate. So why are you wasting time? Do you even realize that, right? You're going after people who you have no business going after. That's why it's so hard. Sales isn't hard if you're going after the right types of people. So, you know, having that evaluation and then thinking about, how do I want to be seen in the community? How do I want people talking about me? Do I want people talking about me? Well, yes, of course, that's how referrals happen, right? But what is that information? What are they thinking about? What are they saying? What are they doing on your behalf? Do you have answers to that? Because if you don't, obviously you can call someone like me and I can coach you through all that, right? But seriously, like, that's a problem, right? You can't have people talk about you if you don't even have that accurate information. And I would, you know, bare minimum, if you're working on that stuff now, you should still be going out to events. You should be a part of regular networking groups on a weekly basis. You shouldn't be networking once a month in only one group and that's it. You should be making your way into different places, and don't spread yourself too thin either. Some people think, well, I'm going to network really hard for 6 months, and then I'm going to get a ton of business and then I'm good. I'm going to break it to you right now. I have been networking intentionally since 2016. I own 3 companies. I'm not stopping. And the reason is because the day that I stop showing face out there is the day that people stop talking about me. It might take time, right? But I can't just stop everything, right? You have a freight train that took you a while to get going. It's going to take a while for that to stop. But once that stops, you know how much harder it's going to be to get going again? This is where that balance comes in. Well, you know, take some time to network on a weekly basis, but that shouldn't be all you're doing. You need to make sure you're planning for fires, your current work, your home life, your kids, your wife, your family, whatever, right? But I think that's a big thing. You got to get out there. You got to have conversations. You got to practice. Figure out who you want to be surrounded by. It's going to be, your clients are going to be very similar to, you know, who you like to be around. But I think that is first and foremost the thing that has to happen. Then you got to get out there and practice it.
You get out there, you practice, you do the work. Your clients end up being very much aligned in the value sense with you a lot of the time, as far as I've seen. I'm wondering though, so I'm out doing it, and I know I've felt overwhelmed and I felt burnout, and I took 3 weeks off in June. I was like, no meetings. actually went on a short vacation, but I was just like, I can't do this right now. I'm just overwhelmed at this time. What happens when you start to feel the overwhelm in maybe some of the networking groups or events or the people that are hitting you up on a weekly basis, or they have your some people actually might be kind of taking energy from you, and you're the kind of person, I'm the kind of person that I want to give everything to everyone around me, but then I feel drained. How do you know that, like, you're in the wrong group or you're going to the wrong events?
So one of the things I teach with networking coaching is a networking pyramid. And the pyramid works for clients as it does for your community, your tribe, your connections. So just, you know, normal pyramid, right? The top, normal pyramid, pyramid, top of the pyramid.
Yes.
It's going to be like your top 10% of people. Okay. Top 10% of your people are going to be your five-star clients, maybe some four-star clients, your top COIs, people you talk to on a pretty regular basis. You know, like, and trust them. They support you. You support them. And then as you go further down the pyramid is people that are, you know, they're farther and farther out of your circle, right? Mm-hmm. The thing about the pyramid is everybody that's at the top brings you the most communication, effort, and time. As much as you're putting out, you're getting back. So you're re-energized by that top 10% of people that are within your abilities of space, right? Mm-hmm. So you have 50,000 connections, 10% of that is where you're going to get the most out of it, right? So thinking about that, where does this person fall in my pyramid? Are they my top 10%? Are they my 50%? Or are they, you know, the 40% at the bottom, right? Of everybody else that I'm probably never going to talk to again. And I think thinking about that every single time, and that's how those boundary questions come up too, and setting those expectations with every single person you have a conversation with. Like, what does it look like if we get into a networking relationship? We're not even talking about a client relationship right now. Let's talk about networking. Because if I think you're like a D-bag, I'm not going to do business with you on any capacity. Right. I don't want to be affected by that, because your energy is going to totally rattle my cage, and I don't want to deal with that. So I look at, how do I protect my space? How do I protect my energy? How do I protect my time? I need to be surrounded by people who think very similarly to me. They're putting effort into relationships, they're putting time, and they're communicating regularly. So whether they're inviting me to events, they're participating on social. I don't care if you live across the country, you live around the world, like, you can still participate in people's lives and be in that top 10% because you're giving what you receive. And it doesn't mean that people below that, you know, that category aren't valuable, but you know, you're going to have your specific go-to people. And when you're out there networking, one of the rules of thumb that I tell people is, well, you should be networking every day. You shouldn't have networking meetings every day. You should have specific days of the week that you are doing either your meetings, your events, and your one-to-ones. And that's it. If you're booking somebody out 6 weeks in advance, that's how it is. Stop trying to jam everybody in, because shit's going to happen. You got to take the kid out of daycare. You know, the washer stopped working and you have three client fires you got to deal with. And it happens all in the same day. And it's right before Christmas. That's just how it works. Mm-hmm. So rather than trying to say, well, I can do all this stuff. And this is coming from somebody who had an average of 25 meetings a week for 4 years straight. Oof. Through pandemic. That was normal for me. Okay. Yeah. That's crazy. Like, you don't need to do that to be successful. I think that's the thing. Well, the more numbers I get, the higher the results and sales I'll make. And I'm like, yes, but no, you're just meeting people to meet people at that point. You're meeting the wrong people. And if you, I don't care if you have a high conversion rate, you're going to exhaust yourself. You're going to get to a point where you can't sustain that at all. You need to be reasonable with your time and plan for error. So having those set days a week is just going to be hugely beneficial. It'll set you up for the long haul, especially as you become a better networker and you're more intentional with your time. That's one of the biggest things I tell people. You want to be an intentional networker, you don't need to network all the time because you're doing it efficiently.
I like this. Because I've networked a lot before, but you've probably seen it. The people I spend the most time with, and I get to spend the most time with because I love to spend the most time with, end up being the best relationships that end up being the best partners, referrals, clients, business, any of that.
It's easy.
That's part of why I wanted to bring you on the podcast, because I wanted to spend time with you and have an intentional discussion. And why not click record and let people learn from it? But let's go deep with Christine. I'm interested in everything you do. Why wouldn't we go deep?
Right. Exactly.
And I realized that we went we literally just nosedived into the conversation. I kind of want to slow down to speed up, because you're a fascinating person and you're doing all these things and you have your own story, and we kind of just skipped over all of it. So just an overarching question, where did you learn all this stuff? Where did you learn to be a resource? What led you to this day where you're just kicking ass, taking names?
Yeah. So I've done a ton of evaluations, personality. I've done the culture talk evaluation, which is super fascinating. I'm very interested in who I am as a person, right? And how I've developed over the years personally and professionally. And every job, every relationship, every situation I've come across, having that overarching foundation of who I am has stayed the same. I'm a helper. I'm an educator. That's how I am as a personality. Take the shirt off my back for somebody. If somebody asks for help, what can I do to solve your problem and, get you onto the next thing. Right. But being more intentional with that. Right. And also building businesses off of that mentality and saying, well, how do I do this for the people who are actually asking for help and willing to take that next step? They're not just asking for help and leeching off of me because I've had enough of that too. People just, kind of ride on my coattails or she knows everybody and she's got it. I'll just let her take care of it for me. Right. So obviously trial and error, has come for a lot of this. And I've been in sales for a really long time, but no one really taught the networking piece. They just said to go do it. Right. And a lot of that was trial and error. Unfortunately, as a financial advisor, I got inundated with, well, I already know what you do. I don't need to talk to you because I already have somebody. And that was even before I didn't ask anyone to be a client. It just was like, hi, my name is Christine Smith. I'm a financial rep at XYZ Place. And they immediately responded with that. I'm like,
oh, another one.
But yeah, another one. Or I'm like, I already know what you do. Or just the feedback I got was honestly, it was soul crushing, because I'm like, that is not normal responses. I'm sorry you had a bad experience with the previous advisor, but how are you assuming that you know what I do just because I said financial rep? So I literally looked back and I was like, how do I have these different conversations? How do I be a resource? That's what I got into this business for. And I started doing workshops. I started planning events. I started doing things that I thought would be different. And it wasn't the sales approach that I was actually taught. Oh, just go out and get people's numbers and, show them what we can do for them. I'm like, no one gives a shit about what you can do for them if they don't trust you. So why even have that conversation if they're not even qualified? Stop doing it. Everybody that we're going to talk to is going to be a potential client. Yeah, sure. But no, it's a waste of my time. So let's have more quality conversations with qualified individuals. Listen, if I'm going to open my door to you, I got to figure out where you're going to land. Are you going to be at the top of my pyramid? Are you going to be on the client side? Or are you going to be on the connector side? I don't know yet, but let's figure it out. And who knows? I might be your client. But again, let's figure it out. What are you like as a person? Who are you? Do I even want to spend time with you? Because if I'm already irritated with you and it's been 5 minutes, this isn't going to go anywhere. There's no point in having those deeper conversations. But that doesn't mean they don't have a place, right? Not everybody that I've talked to is still within my tight circle, but they're still having conversations about me. One way or another.
One way or another. That's another thing we should write down. Do I actually want to spend time with you? Seems kind of cold. It seems kind of harsh, but I feel like I deserve it. You deserve it. They deserve it. That if someone's draining time, if it's not a good fit, it could be a waste of time, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything I've looked at, specifically in the last 3.5-4 years, does it use energy that I don't have? Super simple things. I need to clean my house. Well, I can hire someone to do that now. So why don't I just have that person do it? It's not that I'm not capable. I would rather have the peace of mind knowing that it's taken care of and I can focus on other things that I can't hire someone for. I need to make those decisions on that specific thing, right? And I think a lot of people aren't thinking about that from a networking standpoint. Well, who am I surrounding myself by? Does everyone serve a purpose? are they going to support me when, you know, shit hits the fan and I'm having a hard time professionally or even personally, right? It always spills over. There's no separation. And who are those people that are going to be there? And I think that's the big thing. People are like, oh, well, you're going to separate it. I'm like, I'm going to tell you right now, you can't. It's impossible. You're a human. It's going to spill over. But who are those people that are going to be okay with it? They're going to support you regardless. They're going to be there for you.
They'll be there. Yeah.
Best.
We're going to do I know you and I are going to be on Andrew Biernad's show. So we're going to do a second parter with Andrew Biernad on the Personal Brand, Personal Growth podcast, because I could talk to you all day. We're about to go to rapid fire to close out. But before, I want to talk about what's new and exciting. Didn't you just launch a co-work? Are you in it right now? Let's talk about that.
I am in my co-working space right now. So, me and my partners just soft launched a co-working space in upstate New York. We do our hard launch next Wednesday. So we have a ribbon cutting for anybody that's local to the capital region in New York.
Christina, this will come out mid-August. So hard launch is, we'll be 30 days from now. So
yeah, we'll be up and running for 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
That's fun. What inspired you to start the space?
Honestly, some of it was ripple effects. I've been running networking groups for a number of years, and then Ripple Effects is about 2 years old. And I just went into my partner one day and I was like, I think we need to start a co-working space. Ironically, he had been wanting to do this for 15 years, but never told me, and was like, yeah, we should. And then we got our other partner involved, and they worked together with Flight Creative. And we just put our heads together. We did a ton of research, and I'm like, here's what I think we should bring to the area. Here's how I think we can be different. Here's how I think we can really help be a resource for this type of person and, help everybody else kill it.
Help everybody else kill it. I love it. And you are an incredible resource. Rapid fire round.
Okay.
This is where we just have fun. There's no right or wrong answers. It's either or fill in the blank or just cross it out and say whatever the heck you want. It's up to you. Coffee or tea?
Neither. Hot chocolate.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Cats or dogs?
Cats.
Are you a morning person?
No.
Favorite time of year? Considering we're in New York?
I mean, I love summer. I like fall as well.
Should I ask you that? I'll ask it. If you were to change your whiplash statement, who's coming to mind?
I would say I am the...
I know I put you on the spot.
I know you did. I am the Ken Jennings of resources.
Ken Jennings of resources. Love it. You might have to bait it. No, I actually prefer the Obi-Wan Kenobi one.
I should bait test it.
Yeah. I do like the Obi-Wan Kenobi one more. That's a survey of one, though. That's a survey of one.
True.
So other than the co-working space, what's exciting you? What are you learning? What is in your vision that's just really lighting you up?
It's just really being able to honestly light other people up. I think just being able to share the things that I've learned. One of the things that I've heard a lot in my time and working in very, I would say confrontational industries is, you'll figure it out. Oh, well, whoever doesn't, they weren't meant for that industry, right? I got that a lot in the carpet business and financial advising. And I hate it. I hated that term. I always thought that was just a really poor way of just not training somebody. And I just feel like, why does it have to be that way? There's no reason why we can't share information. The reason why people don't share information is because of the scarcity mindset, right? Oh, if I share this, they're going to be better than me. They're going to make more money than me. They're going to take my clients. And I'm like, you're living in dreamland because that's not going to happen. There's unlimited supply of people out there. And you're just going about it completely wrong, in my opinion, and very inefficient. Mm-hmm. So if we help each other, what can we really accomplish as a team? And I say team, it's a community of tightly knit people that are, yes, they're trying to be personally successful with their business, their life, but it feels amazing when we can really light each other up. And that's, you know, really the purpose of Ripple Effects. It's the purpose of paying our co-works. It's the purpose of anything that I dabble myself into, Team Elevate, you know, with our coaching, even with like creative and all the marketing stuff that I do, to be able to really help spin things for people in a, just a different way. And it makes it easy. I don't know about you, but I like things to just be easy.
Easy. And if you're lighting people up, it is easy because they go and start lighting other people up, and then we're all lit up, and then collective impact, everybody's better. So yeah, so I have attended one of the Ripple Effect sessions. Is that something that someone listening could like attend an event, virtual or in person, or how's that work?
So Ripple Effects is, all of our networking groups are actually virtual. So it doesn't matter if you're outside the area. We actually have members outside of New York. We have members in other countries. All of our events are a mixture. So we have some that are in person and we have some that are virtual, but people can try up to two things within Ripple Effects. So they can try a monthly group, a weekly group, or one of our events to see if it's a good fit for them, if it's the type of community that they're looking for. And I always tell them to do that because I'm like, listen, you're going to try a ton of things. This is going to be completely different than what I know for a fact of what you've experienced.
Cool. So reach out to you to do that? Or is there like a website we could do that as well? Or
I mean, they can visit the Ripple Effects website. It's just rippleeffects.us. But I would say if you're interested in testing it prior to joining, just reach out to me directly and then I can plop you into one of the groups for you to check out or an event that we have, because that stuff changes all the time.
Yeah, guys, if you know me, you can reach out to me first, but I do encourage you, connect with Christine. Hopefully you have a photo up and you don't start pitching her, open the floodgates to pitch. Like, the number one thing I'd recommend is look at her profile, make an observation, or even better, you're listening to this right now. I hope you have at least one takeaway that you could bring to the table from the conversation. That would be a great way to get either of our attention. To close out, everyone took a lot of notes. If they didn't, I do recommend they re-listen. Let's do like one more note-taking moment. Is there any like awesome tactics or just things that we didn't tackle today that you think we should bring to the table and implement as quick as possible, if possible right now?
I would say the quickest thing that you can change right now is in your LinkedIn profile below your picture. It has, usually people put like their job title and the company that they work at. Stop doing that. That should either be your whiplash statement or some really cool like facts or things that you're interested in, because that's one of the first things people see when they search for profiles. So people can learn about what you do for a living when they open your profile. Stop, like think about as people are window shopping, you want to grab them as quickly as possible so they look more into your profile, and then you can have more on your about me section, not that you're proficient in Microsoft Word, and you can have your job stuff already listed there. So I would encourage people to just immediately change that.
I love that. And best whiplash statement, top five, I'll give you a free gift. I'll cartoonify you. I'll give you any gift you want. Change the whiplash statement or change the top profile. Turn it into a whiplash statement. Send me a screenshot. We'll give you some gifts. We'll give you some love. And Christine, again, I want to do this again. I hope we jump on Andrew's pod. We're going to do like a powwow, all three of us chat. So I'm looking forward to continuing the conversation and talking to you soon.
Yeah. Same. Awesome.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.